You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, September 27th, 2024. Grandpa Dan's streaming, wrapping up your work week here at RadioAlbion.com. I'm up against the clock to get this show up on time. I hope it's not late. If it is a few minutes late, I'm pleased to say it's because I did. I was just sitting down, getting ready to record the show, and I heard from Sven, and I got to speak with him. He's doing well. He's adjusting well in his new environment. I don't know what to say beyond that. Again, we can't share where he's at. I know a lot of you would like to contact him. I can't share that information with you. It's not allowed. And obviously, we're going to do everything to make sure we stay within the guidelines. We're not going to cause him any problems. But he is doing well. And I always want to pass that along to all of you who have stuck this out with all of us, and along with Sven, with what he's gone through. He is doing well, and we're moving towards being fully released. So he is doing well. I did want to pass that along to all of you. And because of this, I'm running behind, and I've really struggled. I really struggled to come up with a topic for today. It can be tough sometimes. I get tired of talking about the same. I do not, for instance, want to talk about Trump versus Harris and this stupid political sideshow here in the U.S. And then I had several angles I thought about. I was sitting here. In fact, I just a minute ago started to record and just bailed on it. It's like I changed my mind. I don't want to talk about what I was going to talk about. So I kicked that out. I'm going to go with this story today, and I'll link it up. This is from ProPublica.org. And this is actually a news story which doesn't get covered, once again, in the mainstream media. And it's a very, it's an important story, I guess is what I want to say. It always gets me when you watch the 90s, all the network news in the morning has some version of your world in 90 seconds and what you need to know, what's going on. And most of it winds up being a bunch of stuff about either celebrities or the weather. Going on and on here about this hurricane. Well, I can understand if you live in Florida or one of these areas is going to be impacted. Yeah, that's important to you. I'm in Texas. I don't give two cents about the hurricane. Not that I'm not sympathetic to those who are affected by it, but it doesn't affect me. I don't care. That's not something I need to know. If I was going to travel there, yeah, I might need to know. And the rest of it winds up being a bunch of gibberish about what celebrities are doing or how the football score wound up last night. Again, I don't care about it. You have to dig for this information. Search engines are so broken. I go on here and I literally type in top news stories for this week, and all I get are links to go click on USA Today, CNN, MSNBC, NPR. And even if you click on those links, it's just basically a Kamala Harris campaign website, vaguely, not very convincingly masquerading as a news site. It's difficult. I try. I've kind of gotten where I'm making this Friday show a wrap-up of the news. I don't know what I want it to be, honestly. We were doing Funny Fridays. I'm out of funny. I don't know. You know, what would we talk about? Zelensky going around saying he has a peace plan which amounts to Russia fully surrendering. We've got Putin is updating. All these things going on in the world. And we don't apparently need to know about that, according to mainstream sources, trusted sources. That's what they tell us. They lecture us all the time on these trusted sources. You got to use trusted and verified sources. that want to tell me about Taylor Swift, because I don't need to know that Russia has updated their nuclear doctrine now to where, you know, we're that much closer to a nuclear war. You don't need to know about that. Let's talk about climate change. Some more. You want some climate change? People start popping off nukes. I think it's going to change your climate. For sure, it's going to get a lot hotter. You're going to get extreme global warming, but you don't need to know about any of that. Meanwhile, this clown Zelensky going around saying he has a peace plan, which amounts to Russia unconditionally surrendering, which is stupid. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I went with this story from ProPublica, and it's good. I don't know if I'm going to read all of it or not, but we might. And the headline is, Blinken is sitting on staff recommendations to sanction Israeli military units linked to killings or rapes. We've had this whole thing where they're going around talking out both sides of their mouths. The U.S. government is so embarrassing. The U.S. government is going around talking about we're working on a ceasefire. We're working on a ceasefire. And Netanyahu keeps telling them, I'm not doing any ceasefire. I don't even know why they're bothering with this charade. I mean, when they were supposedly working with a ceasefire for Hamas and Israel killed the guy who was responsible for negotiating the ceasefire for Hamas, that was a pretty clear indication that they're not interested in that. Netanyahu keeps saying, I ain't doing it. And these people keep trying to fill this disconnect in between the way people are viewing what Israel's doing and the fact that these governments in the West support it. You know, people can't look at what they're doing and say, yeah, this is totally legit. And yet, you know, you wind up with this situation where you got the U.S. government talking about we're trying to get a ceasefire deal going, and then turning around though, and also the same day they're sending something like another $3 billion or whatever it is in weapons and bombs for Israel to keep doing what they're doing. When the people of the country, you know, they don't necessarily want any of that. Let's go to this article. A special State Department panel recommended months ago that Secretary of State Antony Blinken disqualify multiple Israeli military and police units from receiving U.S. aid after reviewing allegations that they committed serious human rights abuses. But Blinken has failed to act on the proposal in the face of growing international criticism of the Israelis' military conduct in Gaza, according to current and former State Department officials. You think? I mean, you sit here and you have to wonder, you know, exactly which incidences are we even talking about? There's so many. Are we talking about telling the people to go to this area? That's the refugee area. You'll be safe there. And then literally bombing the refugee area. Are we talking about that? Are we talking about the multiple bombings and leveling of hospitals? Or what are we talking about? Now you can add this whole thing in Lebanon to that, where they basically have sent out indiscriminately, you know, sent out explosive devices. They don't know who has them. They don't know who's around them. And indiscriminately doing terror bombings. Think about this. When somebody would remember when we were always hearing about suicide bombers, you know, and some guy would go into a crowded market and set off a suicide vest. Israel has literally basically equipped people unknowingly with suicide vests and setting them off, indiscriminately blowing people up in Lebanon now. I mean, which incident are we even talking about? There are so many. Aid convoys getting blown up. The UN keeps sending in these aid workers. Who the hell keeps agreeing to be an aid worker? I mean, I understand people trying to help, but I mean, come on. You've had multiple incidents where the UN is sending in food aid convoys and they're in contact. As part of that, they had to be in contact with the Israeli military and telling them, yeah, we're the aid convoy. We got all these UN markings, food convoy, you know, coming through. They're on the radio with them. And the Israelis still blow them up. Are we talking about that? Are we talking about the settlers attacking the food convoys and stealing the stuff off of them so they can't go there? Oh, and let's not forget, now they've moved to the West Bank, which Hamas is not in the West Bank. We thought this was all about October 7th and Hamas. What about that? Which exactly what incidences are we even talking about? Well, it says here, the incidents under review mostly took place in the West Bank and occurred before Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel. I have to stop there. This is very telling. This report, because it's going back, everything with the government is always on a time lag. You know, they're talking about stuff from some time back. Now, it's interesting to me that what they're talking about here took place in the West Bank, which Hamas is not in the West Bank, and it occurred before Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel. Now, anytime anybody levels criticism at Israel over their behavior, what's always come back? But do you condemn Hamas? What about October 7th? Remember, they came out with all of these ridiculous propaganda. They came out with all of those ridiculous propaganda stories and they fell flat. Remember that? There were however many, they were decapitated babies thrown in an oven. You know, they were all these rapes, like they're in the middle of a military operation. They just stopped to have a rape-a-thon because why not? Quietly, not if you listen to the mainstream news. Not if you only read approved sources, you won't know. But quietly, it came out that when they went after the Hamas attack on October 7th, as it turns out, a lot of the dead Israelis were actually killed by the IDF because, you see, they have a policy. It's better to kill your own dudes than to let them be taken hostage. So you had all of these Israeli citizens that were gunned down by the IDF themselves. Maybe we need to know. Main network news. Maybe the American people needed to know that a lot of the Israeli people killed on October 7th were actually killed by their own military. Maybe that is relevant to people understanding the world around them. Why aren't we being told this? Unless you dig up the information's out there, but you had to dig for it. You did not see it on Your World in 90 Seconds, Around the World in 2 minutes, or whatever the hell opening segment. Why weren't the people told that a bunch of these Israelis on October 7th were actually gunned down by the IDF? Hell, you theoretically, you have situations where Hamas is trying to take these Israelis and get them out of there. Imagine being in one of these Israelis being kidnapped. And you got these guys on the one hand, you got these guys wanting to kidnap you. And you don't want to be kidnapped. You don't want to go into the Gaza Strip. But on the other hand, you got your own soldiers that aren't there to rescue you. They're up there in helicopters just gunning you down. Talk about between a rock and a hard place. Now, the fact that this is prior October 7th and in the West Bank, whenever this stuff comes up, they always want you to think October 7th came out of nowhere. You know, they're just, these guys are just, Israel was just innocently going along, living a peaceful life of democracy values of who we are greatest ally in the Middle East. And then for no reason whatsoever, Hamas comes in and does a terrorism on October 7th. I get sick and tired of people who sit here and try, who will sit there and spout off about things they don't know anything about. I think a lot of that comes back to Americans having everything has to be sports ball related. Who's the team you root for? Or everything has to be boiled down to some Hollywood movie about, you know, based on a comic book. And you have to have your heroes and your absolute villains. Instead of being able to look at things and go, well, yeah, that was bad. What happened to those Israelis on October 7th? But it didn't come out of a vacuum. Let's take a look at the way the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are actually treated. You'll have Americans who will sit there and defend the quote-unquote settlers in the West Bank because they have no idea what's going on in the West Bank. They'll sit there and say, well, there's nothing there. And these Israelis went in there and they built vineyards and farms. No, they didn't. They went in there and stole it. They'll defend the Israelis. And if you said, well, what if some foreign people showed up at gunpoint, took your house and your land and said, this is my house and land. Now, how would you feel about that? Every American is like, oh, better not, by golly. That's what settlers in the West Bank are. They literally come in and steal the Palestinians' homes, their farms, their vineyards, and say, it's ours now. And then they'll sit around, people point out, and they say, oh, no, look what we built. There wasn't even anything here. And we built it. All right, let's get back to the story. The incidents under review mostly took place in the West Bank and occurred before Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel. They include reports of extrajudicial killings by the Israeli border police, an incident in which a battalion gagged, handcuffed, and left an elderly Palestinian American man for dead, and an allegation that interrogators tortured and raped a teenager who had been accused of throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails. I remember after 9/11, people, Americans, would defend the idea of the U.S. government torturing people. And, of course, it has to be presented as a hypothetical. I generally refuse. Whenever anybody tries to engage me, you know, in a hypothetical, they're trying to bait you into a corner. And what I mean by that is when somebody can't defend something because it's indefensible, they instead try to create an imaginary scenario to justify that which is indefensible. After 9/11, people would try to justify the idea of the American government torturing people. Of course, don't worry. It'll just be lay terrorists, of course. They'd create this scenario. Oh, yes, well, what if? Not what is real, what if? What if the jihadis had a nuclear bomb planted somewhere in an American city, and the government captured this guy, and he knows where it's at, and time is ticking. You see how they have to create this whole fake scenario trying to get you to agree to something. Time's a ticking, and the only way to find out where the bomb is to torture this guy. What about them? Torture, of course, has real problems. And people that would point this out would get dismissed. Oh, you're a bleeding heart pinko liberal or something. As a practical matter, torture doesn't. It doesn't work. By and large, it doesn't work because you got one or two things are going to happen. The person is going to sit there and resist. When they ultimately break and tell you, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. You can be tortured. Look, you can be tortured into confessing whatever. At some point, you just want the torture to stop. So you will say, look, you're looking at the people torturing you and say, what do you want me to hear? What do you want to hear? I will tell you whatever you want to hear to make this stop. Whether that's true or not is irrelevant to the person being tortured. They just want the torture to stop. Therein lies the problem. In this ridiculous hypothetical scenario people would present to justify this, you know, the person in theory, if the clock is ticking, that person say, fine, I'll tell you. It's over here, because they know the clock will run out and it'll go off before you get there. You see, even under this stupid made up scenario, it doesn't make sense. They'll tell you whatever. Now, what we have here in this example, this isn't even a hypothetical to get information. This is just taking revenge. This is just exacting revenge on people. It is. It's just exacting revenge. Well, we don't like them. You know, they were throwing rocks at us. So, you know, we're going to beat them up. We're going to torture them. When they're talking about rape, they're not even talking about women. They're talking about shoving things in some guy's ass. Who does that? You know, they demonized the Nazis in World War II. And I don't know of any stories where the Nazis allegedly sat around jamming inanimate objects in people's asses. You know, who does that? Israel does that. Why we give them billions of dollars? I got to keep rolling here. We're not ever going to get through this story. Recommendations for actions against Israeli units were sent to Blinken in December, according to one person familiar with the memo. They've been sitting in his briefcase since then, another official said. A State Department spokesperson told ProPublica, the agency takes its commitment to uphold U.S. human rights law seriously. This process, quoting, this process is one that demands a careful and full review, the spokesperson said, and the department undergoes a fact-specific investigation, applying the same standards and procedures regardless of the country in question. The revelations about Blinken's failure to act on the recommendations comes at a delicate moment in U.S.-Israel relations. 6 months into its war against Hamas, whose militants massacred 1,200 Israelis and kidnapped 240 more on October 7th. Now, I have to stop there because this is a good piece. I'm not meaning to be critical. But we know for a fact they massacred 1,200 Israelis, except they didn't. We know now for a fact that the IDF is responsible for a lot of those people that were massacred. You know, some of the hostages that were released, some of the people that survived, they told how basically they were huddled up. And they wound up, ironically, taking cover, huddled up with the Hamas guys while they're under fire from their own military. People throw this out. 1,200. Now, maybe I'm being too demanding on details here, but it matters. Hamas went in there to kidnap people. I'm not necessarily excusing that. Again, this isn't a Marvel comic book movie. This is just what happened. Hamas went in there to kidnap people. They didn't go in there just to start indiscriminately shooting people. They could have been in and out of there and done that if that was their goal. Their goal is obviously what? To kidnap people. So why did they go around killing them? Because they're evil? But we know the information is out there that it turns out the IDF actually killed a whole bunch of these Israelis. Anyway, let's continue. The Israeli military has killed more than 33,000 Palestinians, way more. We're stuck at that 35,000 number because the Palestinian, you know, those numbers were largely taken from like hospital facilities where people would bring dead bodies and people dying there. Well, they're all been leveled now. There's no one left to take a death toll. There's no telling how many Palestinians have been killed. We don't know. They shouldn't even throw this. They should just say, we don't know how many Palestinians. An unknown number of Palestinians, at the very least, tens of thousands. Anyway, more than 33,000 Palestinians, according to local authorities. Recently, President Joe Biden, quote unquote, I should say, has signaled increased frustration with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the widespread civilian casualties. Now, I should have said this going into this article. I failed. This was an oversight on my part. This article is actually dated from back in April. So that's why there's nothing getting into, you know, stuff that's a little more current here. Again, I apologize. I should have pointed that out at the beginning of the story, and I did not do that. Now, this is interesting. We're giving, just today I read where we're giving another umpteen billion dollars in weapons and money to Israel so they can continue to do what, on the other hand, our government says they want them to stop doing. You have this ever-increasing dynamic, which is becoming very difficult for them to continue to deny, where on the one hand, they say it's anti-Semitic if you say our politicians are all bought and paid for, our government runs, you know, is the client state to Israel. And yet every observable thing we can see is pointing that very thing. Joe Biden is frustrated with Netanyahu continuing to blow him off? They just cut him off. You know, that's never on the table. Just cut them off. They whine, they complain. You know, Harris is ridiculously out there talking about she's working. She's part of the process of a ceasefire. But she won't tell her own supporters that they might cut Israel off this time because she knows they're not going to. Multiple State Department officials who have worked on Israeli relations said that Blinken's inaction has undermined Biden's public criticism, sending a message to the Israelis that the administration was not willing to take serious steps. The recommendations came. I don't think that is it. I think the Israelis already know this. One of the telling moments, and I'm glad I remember things. I remember back when Obama was president. Now, some of you may remember this. And he was in France. And he was talking over there and got caught on a hot mic. And he was laughing and joking about, you know, Netanyahu. And Obama basically on the hot mic says, yeah, I can't stand that guy. How do you think I feel? I have to talk to him every day. And the thing stuck with me is Obama said, I have to talk to him every day. You're supposedly the quote unquote leader of America, but you have to talk to Netanyahu. It's not optional here. Let's keep going. The recommendations came from a special committee of State Department officials known as the Israel Lahey Vetting Forum. The panel, made up of Middle East and human rights experts, is named for former Senator Patrick Lahey, Democrat of Vermont, the chief author of the 1997 laws that require the U.S. to cut off assistance to any foreign military or law enforcement units, from battalions of soldiers to police stations that are credibly accused of flagrant human rights violations. The Guardian reported this year that the State Department was reviewing several of the incidents, but had not imposed sanctions because the U.S. government treats Israel with unusual deference. I wonder why that could be. Officials told ProPublica that the panel ultimately recommended that the Secretary of State take action. This story is drawn from interviews with present and former State Department officials, as well as government documents and emails obtained by ProPublica. The officials spoke on condition of anonymity in order to discuss internal deliberations. The Israeli government did not respond to a request for comment. Over the years, hundreds of foreign units, including from Mexico, Colombia, and Cambodia, have been blocked from receiving any new aid. Officials say enforcing the Lahey laws can be a strong deterrent against human rights abuses. Human rights organizations tackling Israel's response to the October 7th attacks have collected eyewitness testimony and videos posted by Israeli soldiers themselves that point to widespread abuses in Gaza and the West Bank. Quote, if we had been applying Lahey effectively in Israel like we do in other countries, maybe you wouldn't have the IDF filming TikToks of their war crimes now, because we have contributed to a culture of impunity, said Josh Paul, a former director in the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs and a member of the vetting forum. Paul resigned in protest shortly after Israel began its bombing campaign of Gaza in October. Now, I have to stop here for a minute because I am... Obviously, I'm very critical of the U.S. government and its policies. And, you know, I feel like I have to stop here and say, you know, kind of a hats off, that there are still people trying to do the right thing in the government. You know, we start painting with a broad brush. I'll spit it out in a minute. We paint with a broad brush. But, you know, there are people in the government. As we read here, imagine being on this panel thinking you're trying to do something that matters, and you're pointing out. Now, I don't think they should just be cutting off aid to particular units. I think that's one of the ways the law is written intentionally to make it to where they can skirt it, and you get into that a lot. You look at these laws, and they're written in a manner to where they can get around it when they want to. I think they should just, why are we obligated to send Israel? Why are we obligated to send anybody money? Why do they have a right to our money? what's allegedly our money. Why do they have a right? Why are we talking about, well, we have to be sure that unit doesn't get the money? Why don't we just say they don't get in at all? If the U.S. government today stood up and announced, we're completely cutting Israel off, we're not sending them one red cent, we're not sending them one bullet, not one bomb, not 1 gallon of jet fuel, nothing. I think that it would do a million times more to restore any credibility the U.S. government has on the world stage and at home than anything else they could do. If Kamala Harris could stand at the front and act like it was her idea, she might actually legitimately win the quote-unquote election. But they don't, do they? They don't. They play these games. They act like, well, this is very complicated. I always say, when people act like a problem is really complicated, a lot of times it's not. They just don't want to, they just don't want to do what needs to be done. So they make this convoluted thing where we have to act like, well, we got to sanction individual units. I'm trying to get through this story. Let's keep going. The Leahy laws apply to countries that receive American-funded training or arms. In the decades after the passage of those laws, the State Department, under both Democrat and Republican administrations, allowed a de facto policy of exempting billions of dollars of foreign military financing to Israel from their strictures, according to multiple experts on the region. Why? Why? You keep coming back to the fact that Washington answers to Tel Aviv, not the other way around. In 2020, Leahy and others in Congress passed a law to tighten the oversight. The State Department set up the vetting form to identify Israeli security force units that shouldn't be receiving American assistance. Until now, it has been paralyzed by its bureaucracy, failing to fulfill hopes of its sponsors. Now, I would say that's a feature, not a bug. These things are applied selectively on purpose. That's why it's worded in a way to where that specific unit doesn't get any money. Like when they send these billions of dollars to Israel, like they know where Israel spends the money. Oh, no, yeah, we totally didn't send any to Unit 747 or whatever that was accused of this, but we send it to everybody else. Sure. Critics have long assailed that what they view as Israel's special treatment. Incidents that would have disqualified units in other countries did not have the same result in Israel, according to Charles Blaha, the former director of the State Department's Office of Security and Human Rights, and a former participant in the Israeli vetting forum. There is no political will, he said. Again, I ask why that is. Why? Can we have the conversation? Well, we have been having the conversation for a while over here on our corner of the internet. But can we have the conversation? Can the nation at large have a conversation of why this mystery abounds that our government apparently answers to the Israeli government? Why is it that everybody that runs for political office for president has to go to Israel and kiss the Wailing Wall? What's that whole thing about? What's that whole ritual about? What does that signify? Does that have something to do with the fact that you have employees here trying to do something? They get put on this committee and they're trying to make a difference and they're trying to enforce this law, and they just run into a brick wall. They run into the Wailing Wall. Typically, the reports of wrongdoing come from NGOs like Human Rights Watch or from press accounts. The State Department officials determining whether to recommend sanctions generally do not draw on the vast array of classified material gathered by America's intelligence agency. That's interesting, too. So they're on this committee and they're already hobbled. So the intelligence agencies don't give them any information. They have to go off of what's in the media. Eyewitness accounts. Thankfully, you have members of the IDF that film TikToks of themselves doing these things. Actions against an Israeli unit are subject to additional layers of scrutiny. The forum is required to consult the government of Israel. Then if the forum agrees that there's credible evidence of human rights violation, the issue goes to more senior officials, including some of the department's top diplomats who oversee the Middle East and arms transfers. Then the recommendations can be sent to the Secretary of State for approval, either with consensus or as split decisions. Even if Blinken were to approve the sanctions, officials said, Israel could blunt their impact. One approach would be for the country to buy American arms with its own funds and give them to the units that had been sanctioned. Officials said the symbolism of calling out Israeli units for misconduct would nonetheless be potent, marking a sign of disapproval of the civilian toll the war is taking. Since it was formed in 2020, the forum has reviewed reports of multiple cases of rape, extrajudicial killings, according to the documents ProPublica obtained. Those cases also included several incidences where teenagers were reportedly beaten in custody before being released without charges. The State Department records obtained by ProPublica do not clearly indicate which cases the experts ultimately recommended for sanctions, and several have been tabled pending more information from the Israelis. And I'm sure the Israelis will be very forthcoming, giving information to implicate themselves. Israel generally argues it has addressed allegations of misconduct and human rights abuses through its own military discipline and legal systems. In some of the cases, the forum were satisfied that Israel had taken serious steps to punish the perpetrators. But officials agreed on a number of human rights violations, including some that the Israeli government had not appeared to adequately address. Among the allegations reviewed by the committee was the January 21 arrest of a 15-year-old boy by Israeli border police. The teen was held for 5 days at Al-Maskabiya Detention Center on charges that he had thrown stones and Molotov cocktails at security forces. Citing an allegation shared by a Palestinian child welfare nonprofit, forum officials said there's credible information the teen had been forced to confess after he was subjected to both physical and sexual torture, including rape by an object. Again, who does that? You know, I get things happen in wars and when people are under stress. I'm not one of those people, you know, that act like people that are in combat, you know, and they do extreme things, shouldn't do those things. You know, a lot of stuff that gets trotted out as war crimes, you know, like, for instance, if you have a military unit in a firefight in an urban area and they're taking fire and they're shooting, and then somebody comes running out in front of them and they shoot that person down, and it turns out in hindsight that person was a civilian, I don't think it's fair to condemn that soldier and say, well, you should have known. Well, he's in a firefight. You've never had bullets flying over your head. How the hell do you know what it's like? And then all of a sudden someone's running at you. Yeah, you're gonna light them up. You're not going to take any chance. You're in the fight for your life. You know, I get that things happen in wars. This is not that. They've got this guy in custody, this young man in custody. And they torture him and beat him. And, you know, look, that happens too. People get frustrated. Who the hell shoves something in somebody's ass? I cannot imagine. You or I cannot imagine a situation where it would occur to you. You know what we should do? Let's take this broom handle or whatever and let's shove it in this 15-year-old's ass. Let's do that. I can't know. I can imagine people being in stressful situations and doing things that under normal circumstances they wouldn't do. Situations like in combat, under fire, the stress of being in combat. I understand when people would do things. Shoot people that later, ooh, I shouldn't have shot that guy. Turns out that was a civilian. I understand that. And I don't think it's fair to condemn soldiers when they're in a firefight for things like that happen. When soldiers are in a situation where it's hard to tell civilians from enemies and sometimes they wind up killing people that aren't combatants. I think a certain amount of leeway has to be given there. It's not fair to sit there in a comfortable, safe area and condemn people when you're not the one there with bullets flying over your head. These guys didn't have bullets flying over their head. They're sitting there cozy, and they thought it would be funny yucking it up to shove something in this young man's. It's, who the hell does this, and why are we giving them billions of dollars? Why are we discussing which unit shouldn't get funded? This idea they could get around it by buying these weapons with their own money. They're not buying them with their own money. We're giving them the money. We're taking, if even if they were to say, we're saying, okay, we're going to recognize your sanctions against this particular IDF unit, and they won't get any of your money. The money is all going in the same bank account. Hell, we don't know where the money in Ukraine goes. Nobody knows where it went. Countless dollars went missing in Iraq. Do you think people are tracking where the money goes in Israel? All Israel says, yeah, we didn't give that to them. Who's going to check? We're counting on the Israelis to report on themselves. Let's finish the article. 2 days after the State Department asked the Israeli government for information about what steps it had taken to hold the perpetrators accountable, Israeli police raided the nonprofit that originally shared the allegations and designated them a terrorist organization. Everyone I don't like is a terrorist. Isn't that a handy thing? Let's finish it out here. The Israelis told State Department officials they'd found no evidence of sexual assault or torture, reprimanded one of the teen's interrogators for kicking a chair. For kicking a chair. Now, I came across this article because Blinken went on to later testify before Congress that they didn't have any evidence that Israel had violated any of these laws, which was an absolute lie. But you see, he's not going to be punished. If you or I lie to Congress, if you or I lie to an FBI agent, we go to prison. Even if it's just an innocent lie, you didn't even mean to lie. You just got confused and said the wrong thing. They can put you in prison for that. This guy can stand before Congress and absolutely lie about what their own committee has said, the reports his own committee has sent him. And nothing is going to happen. And at some point in time, people are going to have to be heard. People are going to be heard because more and more people in this country and around the world are saying, why is that? Why is that? Why is it that AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign agent? Why is that? Everybody else sure as hell does. Why is that? Why is it that the government is cracking down on RT because it's influence from the Kremlin? It's undue influence on our elections. How many people in this country actually read RT or watch videos of RT? How many people? They're trying to influence our elections. So they didn't register as foreign agents. Thus, we're cracking down on RT. And then you got AIPAC. They don't have to. They don't have to. And the money keeps flowing. The bombs keep falling. And we're not even supposed to ask why that is. We're going to wrap up on that note. The show is probably going to get posted late. I'll get it posted up as quickly as I can. I thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.